Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
And so we're kicking off this new series this afternoon talking about discipleship is relationship. Discipleship is relationship. You can't get any more fundamental and basic than that. And this will be our theme for the next few weeks. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 4, and we'll launch from this passage for the next 3 weeks. This passage we're going to read from is very early in the ministry of Jesus. He had just been baptized by John the Baptist. He was sent out into the desert, led by the Holy Spirit there, where he's fasting for 40 days. He comes to the end of that time, and he has the greatest challenge, the greatest battle of his life. The enemy tempts him. He comes through that, and then he begins his ministry. And you would have expected Jesus to go to the center of where the greatest influence, Jerusalem, but he doesn't. He goes to this city called Capernaum, this little fishing village on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. And we'll pick up reading in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. They brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. God, I thank you that we can have an encounter with you through your word. And I'm asking, God, that you would speak to us. Father, as we open up this scripture and talk about other passages of scripture, God, I pray that you would visit us. Open our eyes to see you more clearly. I pray that you'd provoke something in us that would call us, that would draw us into deeper discipleship, a deeper discipleship relationship with you. Father, we look to you to move. Holy Spirit, speak today in Jesus' name. Amen. I can remember very early when I showed up at a church. I was very insecure. I was selfish. My parents were divorced. My dad was actually in prison. My life was pretty dark. I was at university, but I was self-medicating, smoking weed every day. But God saved me out of this life, and I had this powerful encounter with Jesus, and then I end up at this church. But even then, I didn't really want to go all in. I was like, okay, I'm going to come along to church, but I'm happy to just be part of the crowd. I'm happy to just show up and, I'll write my tithe check. Just don't really ask me to do anything. I definitely don't want to speak in front of anyone. Just let me just kind of hang and just receive from Jesus. But I realized very quickly that Jesus was not content to just let me remain part of the crowd. He would put these people in my life who were challenging me to read my Bible. And I would be in these meetings and I'd have these encounters with the Holy Spirit. And I would sense God was saying, "No, I'm calling you to serve me with your whole heart. I'm calling you to lay down your life for me." He wanted a relationship with me that wasn't just me showing up at an event and being a casual inquirer. He wanted me to walk with him closely. He wanted me to be his disciple. If you're around here for very long, you'll hear us make this statement or this phrase. One of our kingdom culture values is that making disciples is not optional. In other words, making disciples is the call of every single person who is a follower of Jesus. If you call yourself a Christian, a Jesus follower, then you're called to make disciples. When God spoke to me about and very clearly said, I'm calling you and your family to Perth to plant this church. He said, he spoke very clearly. He gave me this phrase that's etched on my heart that will forever be the directive of who we are as a church. And he basically said, I'm going to bring crowds of people, but I'm not calling you just to minister to crowds. Pneuma Perth is not just going to be about gathering the crowds and people coming and having a great encounter and then going. I'm calling you to make disciples, to train leaders, and to plant churches. And so that threefold mission, make disciples, train leaders, plant churches, is the essence of why we exist. The essence of why we are here. I'd rather have a church of 200 passionate Jesus followers than a crowd of 2,000 people that show up and, you know, they have an encounter with God or whatever, and they go and they, you know, they haven't really gone all in. Because if you give me a church of 200 people, it won't be long before we have 10 churches of 200 people. Because when you begin to lay your life down to Jesus, he draws you into this life of following him, as he said, not just into going through religious motions, but into fulfilling the purpose, the calling, the destiny that he has for our lives. What does it mean to make disciples? Well, we really need to understand what it means, what discipleship is. What is discipleship? And it was, as we've already said, discipleship at its very essence is relationship. It's relationship. And this passage that we just read, we can see that discipleship is relationship with God. It's relationship with God's people. And it's relationship with the lost. In this passage that we just looked at, Jesus came to Peter and Andrew, and then to James and John. And what did he say? He said, follow me. He called them into relationship. Jesus, when he showed up to begin his ministry, he didn't have a tent meeting. He didn't have a big crusade. The very first thing that he did, he began to call people to follow him, to be his followers. So discipleship is first a relationship with God, following Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about today. Next week, we're going to talk about how discipleship is relationship with God's people. When he called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, he didn't call them in isolation. He called Peter and Andrew, and they were to follow Jesus together. But then what did he do? He called James and John. And then he called another 8. And then there were 72. And so there's this community of people who together, in relationship with one another, were following Jesus. So next week we're going to talk about this aspect of discipleship, which is relationship with God's people. And then third, discipleship is relationship with the lost. Relationship with people who are far from God. Because what did Jesus say? He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. Jesus brings us into relationship with him, following him together in community with other people, so that we will fulfill a mission to extend the kingdom of God, to see people's lives transformed around us. And so we'll talk about that in the third week. Relationship with people who are far from God. But today we're going to focus on this call into relationship with Jesus. He says, follow me. The starting point of discipleship is following Jesus. I grew up going to a church. through my primary school years. I can remember praying to God when I was younger. I can remember having a fear of God that kept me out of a fair amount of trouble early on. Like, even when I got into high school, I was like, I wasn't a great kid or anything, but I had this internal sense that someday I'm going to serve God. God had done something. But then, I don't know, my dad had some kind of falling out with the pastor or whatever, and we are no longer a part of this church. Nobody's speaking into my life, no relationship with God's people. And I just begin this downward spiral of sin through high school. I get into university, and things go from bad to worse. Like I said, I was depressed. I was anxious. I was insecure. I was this very disciplined pot smoker. I would get all my homework done. And I was studying business in university. And I just had all this unrest in my soul. And I just, like, the highlight of my day was just get to the end of my day and get high. That was all I was living for. But God, all through this season, is breaking me down. And he's reminding me of the God of my youth. I can remember these moments where God speaks to me very clearly. I can remember having this dream where I'm in the car with my mom and my sister, and we're driving into this tornado. And in this dream, now this is a part of my life, season of my life, I'm far from God. In this dream, we all basically, like, we know we're, like, driving into death. And so we all, like, huddle together in the car. The car stops and we just start praying together. And I wake up and my heart's racing. And I knew in that moment, I'm waking up, I knew God was speaking to me. He's drawing me. He's calling me to serve him. He starts taking away my idols. I got busted smoking weed at this concert. And this, you know, like, he took away my glass pipe that I worshiped. It's amazing the things that you worship when you're far from God. Stupid things that you think you can't. It's like your whole life centers on these things. And God's just breaking me down. Went to this party one night, and I come home the next morning, and I'm alone in my bedroom, and I had been counting the cost. One thing that I knew about following Jesus, I knew enough that following Jesus was going to mean that there was going to be some pain. I'd have to go to all my friends and say, hey, I'm following Jesus now, and I'm counting the cost. It's getting close. You know, I'm feeling this internal turmoil, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Well, this breaking point, this moment, God reveals himself to me. I was alone in my bedroom on a Sunday morning, and what happened, basically, God begins speaking to me, and the pain, the pain I was feeling in my heart was greater than whatever perceived pain I thought I would feel on the other side of following Jesus. And the fact is sometimes God has to bring us to that point. It's, you know, I remember when I got right with God, I wished I could go back and do it so much sooner. Because I'm like, what was I thinking? You know, I would see this, I remember this one guy in particular that he was like a couple years older than me. And he was a pastor in the church. And there was just anointing and call on his life. And he would speak with authority. And he was like 24, 25. I was 21. And he would speak of how all through his teenage years, he was faithful to God. That's the best testimony right there. And I remember being jealous of that. I remember thinking, man, I wish I could go back and not waste all this time. So if that's you, if you're 15, 16 years old, let me tell you something. That is the best testimony. That is the best thing. Because I was sitting there thinking, man, if I could just, I had all this catch up to do. But Jesus wasn't calling me to just add him to my life. And I knew he wanted me to lay down my life fully for him. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? I want to look at a few passages of scripture that speak about this call to follow Jesus. Number one, following Jesus requires self-denial. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. In calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. He was always calling people out of the crowd. What does he say in verse 34? You got all this crowd of people. He's calling them out of the crowd to be his disciple. But if you want to come out of the crowd, if you want to be my disciple and be my follower, he's saying it's going to cost you everything. You got to go all in. See, the crowd was a lot like me when I first showed up at church. I was just there to get something from Jesus. The crowd was there, needy, hearing about all the healings. And Jesus said, I'm happy to bring healing power. I'm happy to minister to you, but I'm calling you out of the crowd. If we're just coming to Jesus for what we can get out of him, that's not a true relationship. Have you ever been in a relationship where it was all about the other person? Where you knew in that relationship that they weren't really all, they wanted me to be all in, but they weren't really all in. That's not much of a relationship. But Jesus died for you. How much more all in can you get? He gave his life, and he calls us to die for him. Our natural inclination is towards selfishness. You learn this pretty early on when you have kids. You know, it's crazy. You don't have to teach kids to be selfish, do you? Like, you put two kids in the sandbox playing together. Man, or you come to my house for a little while. Hang out with some of my kids. Man, you see that selfish, sinful nature flying all over the place. You don't have to teach kids to be selfish. It comes naturally. Why? Because we inherited that from our parents, Adam and Eve. The natural inclination of our hearts is towards making life all about me. We were born with this sinful nature, all about self. But to deny ourselves means we take sides with God against ourselves, acknowledging that we lack what we need for anything that's valuable in life, much less what's really going to matter in eternity. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But we tend to live our lives like, you know what? I'm doing all right without you, Jesus. But he calls us to this place of self-denial. I love what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, the great German pastor who died in a Nazi prisoner of war camp. He said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. When Jesus is talking about taking up the cross, what does he mean? The cross was an instrument of death. It wasn't a religious symbol in that day. Jesus was saying, it's going to cost you everything. I'm calling you into a life where it's no longer about you. If you want to be my disciple, it ceases to be about you. It becomes all about me. It's the ultimate act of humility. My life is no longer about making myself great. It's about Jesus making you great. Come and die. How's that for an altar call? But that's just the starting point. Jesus also said, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Following Jesus requires listening for his voice. Jesus is using a common metaphor of the day. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. He wants us to follow him, but in order to follow him, we have to do what? We have to listen. We're not truly following Jesus unless we're listening for his voice. Jesus, what are you saying to me? What do you want to speak to me right now? What do you want to say? But before we can listen, we have to stop shutting him out. Have you ever done that before? Thought you were hearing something from God you really didn't want to hear? What do? La, 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 la. Just shut him out. I remember once walking to this concert. I think I was still in high school or just out of high school, walking to this concert, and there was this street preacher. And he was like preaching about repentance and God loves you. And I was like, I was walking God, I was like, oh, please don't talk to me. Please don't talk to me. Because I felt this instant conviction when I heard him speaking. It was like all the things that had been sown in me years before started like rising to the surface, and I was pushing it back down. No, 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 no. Go, get back down. I don't want to hear that right now. Thankfully, I was able to scurry by without being noticed. Have you ever read something in the Bible that you wished you hadn't read? You know one of the verses I hate the most? Confess your sins to one another. That one is a tough one, right? Because we all want to act like we got it all together, right? We've got it all going on. Everything's good. We want to project strength. We want to project everything's great. But see, when God calls us into family and relationship, I'm getting ahead of myself. This is next week's message. You know, but he calls us into this vulnerability and relationship with one another. That's been one of the hardest ones for me to obey. But you know, it's been one of the most life-giving things that Jesus said, has ever said to me. How else do we listen to his voice? We listen to his voice, especially when we've made the decision to follow. We've heard him say, hey, come follow me. And you've said, okay, I'll follow you, Jesus. How else do we listen to his voice? We spend time every day in God's word. Every single day. How else does God speak? The primary way that God speaks to us is through his word, through the Bible. That's where he speaks. And so if, what are we going to do? Say, okay, Jesus, I'm not going to follow you today. What does he say? He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. We can't follow him unless we're hearing his voice. We can't hear his voice unless we're opening up the word. When we wake up one day and decide, now of course we're not going to say, hey, Jesus, you know I said I'm following you, but I'm not really going to listen to you. I'm not going to come to your word today. Of course we don't say that. But that's essentially what we're saying when we don't come to his word to hear what he has to say. The days we don't open up his word are the days that we're not following him. Can I be any more just blunt than that? If you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, and you're not reading the Bible every day, then you're not really following him. And we're not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about, you know, you're trying to earn your way to God. But what I'm talking about is developing a habit. Not so that you can be accepted, but because you already have been accepted. Because you love him. Because you know him. I love the language that he uses here. They know me. I know them. There's this intimacy. I know them. There's this intimate connection. And out of that desire to know him, we want to hear, listen, Jesus, what do you want to say to me today? Just tell me. Just tell me I'm following you. Just tell me what you want to say. The greatest thing I ever did, you may just have to start, keep it really simple and basic. My grandmother gave me this little devotional book. My grandmother was this good old Baptist woman, prayed for me every day. I had another grandma who was a tongue-talking, a Holy Ghost woman. She stood up in her Baptist church in the 1970s and prophesied in the middle of the Baptist church, they all need to receive the Holy Spirit. And they gave her the right foot of fellowship out the door. See you later. She's still around. She's a bold woman. Thank God for the grannies that were praying for me. But my other grandmother, she gave me this little devotional book. And it helped me to begin to develop this habit every single morning, going to God, just spending a little bit of time with Jesus in prayer, in the Word. If you just start there, you'll be amazed what Jesus will begin to do, how He'll begin to change and transform your life. There's something so powerful when Jesus speaks. I don't mean just, you know, just sometimes I know it's like you go to the Word and it's like, I don't really feel like I'm getting anything here. And there are days it's like, we got to approach it like, all right, I'm taking my vitamins, right? Like, I know it's working, but it's just, I'm not feeling anything. But then there's these moments where Jesus speaks and just the Word comes alive. And He just, you know, you can hear Jesus loves you. And then you read something and Jesus, the Holy Spirit just speaks deep into your heart. And you just know, man, God loves me. God's speaking to me right now. But it's not enough to just listen. Following Jesus requires complete obedience. Not partial obedience, complete obedience. This is a story from 1 Kings 11. I'll read the passage, then I'll give you a little bit of background. In this way, Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to follow the Lord completely as his father David had done. Solomon inherited the kingdom of Israel from his father David. Solomon pretty much, he went on this quest to try to see if there's anything here in this world that can meet the deepest need of my soul. In the end of his life, you can read in Ecclesiastes, he comes back around and says, nope, none of that works. But he indulged in just about every sin imaginable. Because he could, he had 1,000 women at his disposal. Gave himself over because of these relationships to idolatry and the worship of other gods and even very detestable child sacrificing gods. He refused to follow God completely. It wasn't that, oh, he got led astray a little bit. He refused. Complete obedience is just simply a decision. It's like if I tell my kids to go clean up the room, there's a choice. They either obey or disobey. It's pretty simple. And Jesus calls us to complete obedience. He said, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Why do you give me the lip service but not really truly wanting to obey me? That disobedience of Solomon brought a curse upon his children and the whole nation. It wasn't long until the kingdom was divided into two and later led into captivity. He sowed the seeds of generational pain. And do you realize that our compromise can do the same thing in our lives? I inherited some generational pain. There's something so powerful about a life laid down in submission to Jesus. And we're not talking about perfection. It's not about being perfect. It's about the trajectory that you're on. It's about the desire of the heart. Do you long to obey Him? I've told you the story before about the couple of days after coming to Jesus, and one of my friends came over to get me high. I had just committed my life to Jesus, and he comes over. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that anymore. And I won't go into the whole details again, but I moment of temptation, I got high. But you know, something was different. When he left, I heard the Holy Spirit's voice. He said, that can't be a part of your life anymore. I had a decision to make. And what's my trajectory here? Do I want to continue following Jesus and obey? Or am I going to just start living back in the old life that I was living before? The Holy Spirit is there to speak, to draw us. He's speaking to us. One of the first acts of obedience in following Jesus is to go into the waters of baptism. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up, all of the people there were like, hey, what do we do? And he says, repent and be baptized. Turn from your sin and go into the waters of baptism. We had 6 baptisms a couple of weeks ago. So powerful. McCall got baptized. And it was amazing the change that happened. There was a deliverance moment that happened. Like you could just see it on him. Something lifted off of him. And he'd been on this journey of... But there's something so powerful about going, obeying Jesus and being baptized. I don't know where we got off thinking that, oh, you make a decision, you raise your hand in the service, come down, and then when you get around to it a couple months later or whenever, then you can be water baptized. Well, where did that come from? In the Bible, when somebody repents, hey, where's some water? Let's go find some water and baptize them. If you haven't been water baptized, how do you know that you're following Jesus? How do we know that you're serious about following Jesus? If you can't obey Jesus just to go into the waters of baptism, that's the starting point of obedience. Be baptized, because what you're doing is you are proclaiming to every demonic power. Remember I told you the story about my Indian friend who was planting churches, and he was talking about in India how when you go in and preach the gospel somewhere, they're like, oh yeah, we'll take this Jesus and add him to the mix of all of our other Hindu gods. Hey, we got 100 or 200. Let's add another one to the mix. This Jesus, what does he do for us? What can we get from him? But he said that when they started baptizing people, he said that was when the hits started coming. That was when the contract went out on the people's lives. That's when the Hindu extremists were bringing the persecution and threatening death, because the demonic spirits were manifesting inside of them. Because when you go into the waters of baptism, you're proclaiming to every spirit in the heavenly realms that I am following Jesus now. I am breaking away from my old life, and I am going in one direction following Jesus. There is no turning back. It's all about him. There's this powerful moment of burial. We participate in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Let's not waste any time. If you truly want to follow Jesus and you haven't been baptized in water, it's time. Maybe we should go tonight. Maybe we should leave here after we eat some food. I don't know, it might be a little bit dark, but soon. You got to be water baptized. Finally, following Jesus requires following the example of others. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said this. He said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, I want you to look at me as an example of what Jesus would do. I'm going to follow Jesus, and you follow me as I follow Jesus. And if you follow me, you'll be following Jesus too. Relationship with God means relationship with God's people. We'll talk more about this next week. But when I became a follower of Jesus, I was added to a church. There was something I knew, that those people that I was with before, they're not my people anymore. These are my people now. There's this connection with these others. And God began to bring other men into my life who would father me. I can remember once being so convicted, sitting at lunch. I met my friend Rick, who is the pastor, and this other guy, John, that was discipling him. Rick was discipling John, and John was discipling me, and Rick was discipling me as well. And we met for lunch, barely saved, barely, maybe a week. Might have been like the week after I showed up at church. And I was full of lust still at this point. And this girl walks in, and I'm totally distracted, like eyeing her up and down. And I'm fully expecting, like, the blokes that I'm sitting with are going to be like, whoa, check her out, man. And I remember they just stared at me like, There was just no, there was something different. And I was convicted in my heart by the example of them following Jesus. They weren't lusting after this girl. I was. I got some issues. Something's okay. That's what a man of God is supposed to be like. Following Jesus means getting close enough to other people that we can learn what Jesus is like and what following Jesus is like by watching them. But you know what the problem is we've gotten this mindset about church where, hey, it's just this thing we show up at every week. Do you know that this right here is, while it's important that we gather together, it's not the most important thing that we do. Because Jesus is building his church. The church is not an event. The church is a community of people who are living on mission together, walking out discipleship, following Jesus and helping one another follow Jesus and reaching our community, extending the gospel. Yeah. The church doesn't have a mission. The mission has a church. We are a community that's the byproduct of discipleship. Jesus calls us to follow him, and we do that together, living in community. But some of us have never gotten close enough into people's lives to be able for them to rub off on us. One of the clearest manifestations of humility in our lives is when we will get close enough to other people to be teachable, to be vulnerable, to open up our hearts. Following Jesus means that much of the time, God wants to speak to you through someone else. We're all a little bit too easy on ourselves, aren't we? I had a business for 7 years before moving here to Perth. I had a business 7 years mentoring property investors. And they would pay a large sum of money for me to meet with them and talk to them once every week or two. Do you know why? Because they wanted accountability. They were too soft on themselves. They wanted somebody to kick them in the backside and say, hey, what did you do since we spoke last time? Do you know we need that? We need accountability. I need somebody getting up in my life and saying, hey, how are you going with your thoughts? What have you been thinking about lately? How's your marriage? How things going in your family? Do you know, it's the sensitive parts of our heart and our lives where we need it the most. The parts where we really don't like to open that part up. Marriage, family, our parenting. This is where we need help the most. One of the things that I hope we cultivate here is this environment where we are so aware of the gospel, the finished work of Jesus, that we all got issues. We're all on this journey together. And we can be, it's a place where we're not accepted based on our performance. We're not accepted because we've got it all together. We're accepted because of what Jesus has done for us. Our identity is rooted in the fact that Jesus loves us. I don't have to try to look good for you to win and earn your love. And so in that kind of environment, I can be open, vulnerable, transparent, lay it all out, my dirtiest, darkest secrets. Just be vulnerable. Are you willing to be transparent and let others in? Because following Jesus sometimes means, really all the time means, following people that are a little bit farther along on that journey. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you should also be thinking not who am I following, but who's following me. Paul was able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. If we're genuinely following Jesus, Jesus is going to speak to us because he's making us a fisher of people. He's going to speak to us and say, hey, I want you to come alongside this person. Why don't you catch up with them for coffee? Ask them how they're going. Ask them some challenging questions and just see how they're going with Jesus. There's a calling, a destiny upon our lives that's greater than we could ever imagine, that's more fulfilling than we could ever imagine. It begins with self-denial. Take up your cross and follow me. Daily listening to his voice. Not perfection, but a commitment to complete obedience. Jesus, whatever you say to do, I'll do it. And living in relationship with others, following the example of others.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.